sound odd, maybe, and I know you're comfortable in your spot, but if you're not doing anything with sound or anything, would you come a little closer? Amen. This is good right here, first and second row. And bring the baby. Come on. We're used to that. Are you kidding? That's part of it, right? It's just good to be able to see your faces. Amen? Because when I look in the back, the light, I can't really. I can't. And I like people. Huh? That's right. I can't see it. No, I love people, and I like to connect and look in your eyes and hallelujah and not mess with the mic. And just about, it's just coming off my ear. Hang on just a second. I use a handheld at my church. I know, but I'm venturing. That's comfortable, the handheld. So I'm trying to venture. Amen. Hallelujah. Do new things. That's what we should be doing, right? Changing it up a little bit all the time. Oh, I'm going to get it. Don't be moved. It'll happen. I think I got it. Just get my hair out of the way. And okay. No. I'm laughing now. It's getting funnier and funnier as time goes on. Okay, is that all right? Can you still hear me? Okay. I wanted to play something just, for lack of better words, as just kind of an icebreaker for a singles conference. This was shown to me several years ago by one of my sons. They couldn't wait to show it to me. And so it's meant to make you laugh, even if you're a woman. Because sometimes we have to laugh at ourselves, people. Right? So let's just watch this just for a second. It doesn't take very long. It's only like a minute 47. Now, for the men in the room, they're like, yeah, that's exactly right. Right? Because they're always wanting to fix the problem. Right? Let's just fix the problem. And for our women, we don't necessarily want you to fix the problem. We just want you to listen. Does that help a little bit? Yeah, it's funny. It's a funny thing. Amen? And I have been watching another preacher that teaches about married life. And just because I think it's funny, the things he talks about that he did, that he goes to the library and looks things up. And I was going to have that video too, but for the sake of time, I didn't pull it up. But he said he went to the library and looked at a study. And what they did is they had men and women come in, and they were married. And the woman's job was to have, you know, they sit down at a table to eat, and she was to ask him to go get the butter out of the fridge. That's all she was to do. And that the butter, when you opened the door, was straight in front of him, on the second shelf, straight ahead. And so he says 75% of the men couldn't find the butter. And he would be frustrated. He would go and sit down. She would go and get it, open it. It's right where she said it was, pull it out. And so, you know, what he was trying to say was that, you know, he kind of analyzed it and said, when a man opens a refrigerator, he kind of gets down like he's getting behind the football player, you know, the center, getting ready to do a pass. And so he totally misses the butter because men kind of, what he was trying to say is they just look at whatever you're asking for, and it needs to be like right in front of them. So how many times have you said, you know, your socks are on the right side of the drawer and they go and they can't find. Then you go and they're right where you said they were. Right? Yeah, at least. And so he talks about how men compartmentalize things. Everything needs to go in a box, and one box is open at a time in their mind. So if you try to carry on too much of a conversation, they kind of tune you out because you're hitting, women hit many boxes all at once, where a man deals with a box at a time. Amen? And so we're different. That's the only reason I did that, was to say we're different. And in a singles conference, one of the best things to learn about is about ourselves, and to learn who we are and how we work. And sometimes it takes another person to kind of point out things about us so that we can say, oh yeah, I kind of am like that, right? How many of us actually, women, have, when we talk with somebody, we're not really looking for the answer. We just need to talk about it, right? But if you're talking to the opposite sex, a man, they are a problem solver. So they want to solve the problem and then move on to the next thing. But you're not ready to move on. Come on. You're ready to just kind of sit there for a little while, you know, and kind of wonder over it, think about it. Now let's put God in the picture. If we had God in the picture, then for a woman, because I can speak from that perspective really well, we tend to want to talk about it, but then we get into faith and we learn we're not supposed to talk about it. We're not supposed to talk about it because we don't want to speak any doubt and unbelief about the situation. So we're clamming down in something that we've done probably most of our life, unless you were born in faith, right? And raised and stayed adhered to it. So you're learning to keep more quiet instead of just always talking the problem. And so when you put God into it, you begin to talk the solution and not the problem. So if your problem is lack of money, then we tend to need to get a word from the Bible that God gives us, not something that we just heard somebody else say. I'm all about your own prayer life. You get in time with God. I'm about God being a specific God. So the God I know since I was 19, has always given me book of the Bible, chapter and verse. I didn't know I would preach that around the world, which I will. And I everywhere I go in missions, I was in Guadalajara, Mexico, the first time preaching at this church. I don't know how many people were there. Let's say 125 were there. And the Lord said, I want you to teach them to hear my voice. I was like, in a different language. That's going to be awesome. Because I have an interpreter. I said, Lord, you're kidding, right? Let me teach on faith. You know, let me teach anything but how to hear the voice of God through an interpreter. And he was like, nope, if you don't teach it, they're not going to know it. And he said, it'll take me another year to bring somebody in here to do it, and you're here, so teach it. So through an interpreter, I taught about hearing the voice of God to about 125 people in a different language. They didn't speak English. None of them did, except my interpreter, I'm pretty sure, and maybe her children. But there was a gentleman in the back that was from another church. His dad was a pastor in another church, and he'd been there in this church this morning because they had asked him to come and help their team do some kind of dance that they did while we were there. You know, as a, you know, like we get people up in America to sing, they get people up to dance and stuff like that. So he was there just for that. And when at the end, when I said God's going to be specific with you, he's going to give you the book of the Bible and the chapter and the verse. He's going to give you the book, the chapter, and the verse of a word to you in your most important question you want to know from God, because he's all about giving you the answers. We have 66 books of answers. 66 book of answers. Answer. It's all about giving you the answer. So I said that in this church, and in the back there was and I said at the end, if you have a testimony that you had a specific question you asked the Lord, and what did the Lord say? And the gentleman came up, spoke in Spanish to the interpreter, and she interpreted for us that he'd come this morning because even though he was doing this dance, he had been taunted by what he knew now was the enemy, that his whole family was going to be killed, and that he had been totally just fearful about the whole thing. He was 21 years old, and that morning, God gave him a book, one of the 66, a chapter and a verse. And in that verse, it was talking about, I will protect you. Nothing shall by any means harm you. I mean, it was just the most beautiful. He bawled. He just stood up here and cried because he was free, because the Lord had spoke to him of how he was going to bring protection to him and his family. So the point is if God can do that in a different language, then he can do that in the language that I speak in. And he is a specific God. If you don't want him to be specific, he don't have to be specific. He'll only be involved in your life as much as you want him. Amen? And so, in order to be a successful single, one of the most important things is to follow the voice, but to get the confirmation through the word. Because a lot of people follow the voice and they end up being disheartened because they thought they heard something that they didn't. I have done that. Absolutely done that. Amen? I was married to a man and that was good to say to a man. I was married to a man and I, you know, believed when we went on our first date, very short date. When I came home, I stepped out of the car and up on the curb as he was letting me out because we were just going out as friends. And I heard the Lord say, you're going to marry that man. Well, for some reason, I did not get in the Word and find out and get a word on it. I just didn't. I don't even know why to this day. Why? But when all that dissolved and went away, which has been several years ago, about 10 total years ago, I think I was just telling Miss Rebecca, I think I've been single legally for 8 years, but I'd have to count that, and I'm not going to. But it was over before that. But the point is I went away on a trip, and I got in God's face, and I said, Lord, I don't understand how you could tell me to do something and end this way. And he said to me, you didn't get a word, which I didn't. And, of course, this has been, you know, we would have been married almost 30 years, you know, this year. So this has been a long time ago. Didn't get a word on it. And I heard him, and it was the Lord. And I said, but was that you that talked to me or the enemy? He said, no, it was me. He said, but the connotation with which you took it and the way I meant it were two different things. And I said, okay, I heard you say you're going to marry that man. And in the realm of the unseen, I saw the Lord lean forward on his throne, put his hand like this and go, you're going to marry that man. Exact same words, two different connotations. And I said, Lord Jesus. And he said, I don't fault you for that. You did what you absolutely believed wholeheartedly. See, this is God. This is the God we serve. You absolutely believed wholeheartedly that that was what I had said to do. But I'm going to redeem you from that. And so he won't let me not teach that not only when you get a word is that important, but it's even more important to understand what it means. And sometimes that takes a little time, right? You don't necessarily know that minute what it means. It's a combination of situations and prayer time and your word level. And are you keeping your word up? Are you making time for him where he has an opportunity to come in and do other things? But I've also grown to understand checks. Does anybody know what I mean? When I started nursing school years and years ago, they would call checks your conscience. That's the way the world described it, your conscience. I can count it as my conscience, but there's a check that comes from God as well. But the world, when I was all those years ago in nursing school, if you're getting ready to take care of a patient and you get a check, you need to stop everything you're doing because everything you've been trained to know, something's not right. And you back up and you go back to the beginning. You relook at the order. You relook at what's being said. You look at the chart. You see, are they allergic to any medication? What's their weight? Is this the right dose? There's so many things after, you know, almost 30 years of doing that I can tell you that my conscience in the beginning now is turned into the Holy Ghost telling me. Does that make sense? Because we grow in these things. So we may start out with just getting what we call a check. And in relationships, people get checks. But they override the checks, right? So 30 years ago, I was getting some checks, but I overrode those checks because I was thinking, no, I have a word of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to say that sometimes you might not get checks and it's still the will of God, but you're going to know that because he's going to give you another scripture and another confirmation and other things. You have a pastor who you run things by and you listen to what they say. Amen? You say, what's this have to do with being single? Everything. Because our commitment to follow the plan of God has everything. If you can't commit to following the Father, how can you commit to connecting with someone else? Because the commitment has to come first from him. He's got this great plan for your life. Do you really believe that he has a great plan for your life? Do you really believe that? that he's going to do something through you extraordinary, that really he planned for you to be the person to do it? Do you really believe that? You're going to have to get it on the inside of you. It's going to have to grip you to where, I like to say, it consumes you, the fact that he loves you so much, man or woman, so much. He created you. He had plans for you. It's kind of like when you have children. That's the closest thing we can understand of how, what that means. You know, because when you have your children, you desire so many things for them and you pray over them, right? And God tells you things about their life, and then you nurse those things. You pray over them. You teach them along those lines of what God is saying and making real to you as a mom about your children. As a dad, if you may want to make them in your image, you know, so that they, if you shoot guns, they shoot guns. You know, you want to train them early. You want to give them the best parts of who you are. So you even have an admiration to see your children become more than you are. Well, Father God has that same admiration, but it's so much bigger because he knows the thoughts and the plans that he has for you. And it's always thoughts to prosper you and to give you an expected end. He's not changed. And so if we're going to connect with his plan, then that takes time in prayer, but also coming to church, being submitted to a pastor, which I came out of a religious church, you know. I love my religious church. I really did it. They taught me so many things about the Bible, and I can quote scriptures today because all the way through, you know, kindergarten till I was out of high school, you quoted scripture. That was what, you know, and we were out door to door. I mean, the first person I ever led to the Lord, you know, in a organized setting out on a missions trip with my youth pastor, you know, I was 16 years old. It was the most awesome thing, and it was in New York City. I mean, I know where I was. Just leading somebody to the Lord was so cool. So you have all these things, okay, all these paths that you're desiring, and you can read in the Word that God, these plans that God has for you. But when you start getting the book of the Bible, chapter and verse, he starts getting specific with you. The lane, I call it, the lane you're supposed to be in. Hallelujah. And he might have you in one or more lanes, right? You say, what does this have to do with being single? It has everything to do with it. I tease that when Pastor Jack asked me to do this conference, I was like, okay. I said, okay. And then I thought, I wonder why he's asking me to do a singles conference. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm single. I hadn't even thought about it. Because the same person that I was when I was 17, 16, you know, way back. I'm the same person is the same person I am now. Just pursue to the best of my ability. But I feel like as adults, sometimes we mess up and we think it's over. So that's the only reason I told you my mess up. I wouldn't have told you any other reason than to say, dust your knees off. The Bible says, don't laugh at me when I fall, for I will arise. So you get up, you dust your knees off. It doesn't matter how many times you fell. What matters is that you get up and that you do the plan of God for your life. That's what matters. At 33 years old, another part of my testimony I didn't know I was going to tell, I felt like I had just sinned so greatly. So I'm on the floor, you know, because sinners just put yourself on the floor. Or I did anyway. You just crying out to God. And I was saying, Lord, I'm so sorry. I hated myself at the time. I don't even know why I'd done what I did, whatever. None of that really matters. But I was on the floor. And at 16 years old, on a missions trip with my religious church, which was an awesome church. Amen. They're still religious, but boy, are they awesome. Come on. They love Jesus, and that's all they know. You know? But God's got more, and they do get religious. Amen? But that, hey, I love them past it. So anyway, I'm on the floor, and crying out to God in my bedroom by myself and nobody else in the house. And I was like, Lord, I don't know how to go on from here. I don't know how to go on from here. I just so desired to do your will. I don't know how I got messed up, what happened, whatever. And he came over. I saw him in the spirit again. And he came over and he got down on one knee and he leaned into my ear, in this ear. And still to this day, I feel like he talks in this ear. It's not a physical ear. It's a spiritual thing. But he said, when I called you at 16 years old, which I was on a missions trip, when he gave me a word, he called me to preach. And I said, Lord, I'll be a nurse. Women don't preach. Did you not know? Do you not know women do not preach? Because in the denomination I was in, women do not preach. If there was a man there, you could not speak in that congregation. So I was like, don't you know women can't preach? I know what I'll do. I'll be a nurse. So I went out of that closet at 16 years old, went to the church that seats 3,000 people. It was full that day. They wanted me to give my testimony about how Jesus spoke to me. And I told him that he called me to be a nurse, and that's what I was going to do. That is not what he said. But I couldn't, I shut that down because of the wrong thinking. So at 33, he was reminding me. I forgot all about it. He's on the floor and he's going, I called you to preach my word at 16 years old. I was like, oh my gosh. I was right back on that youth trip instantly in reading the word where he said, I've called you to preach. And I was like, oh Lord. And he said, and I just want you to know something. When I called you to preach, I knew that you would commit a sin or two or three. And I still called you. So he knows our heart better than we know ourselves. All right? So sometimes you have to learn to forgive yourself. You really do. You got to learn to forgive yourself and come out of it. Amen? Somebody might say, I don't know how to come out of it. That takes faith. And it's a day by day, minute by minute thought process. Because whatever got me into that place where I thought I'd sinned so greatly against God, took me 6 weeks to get my mind back out of that junk. Even though I'd heard the Lord, even though he said, I have not changed my mind. Now get up off this floor and let's go on. I mean, if the Lord tells you get up off the floor, you just get up off the floor. I didn't know what that meant, but it was work for the next 6 weeks to change my mind. And it was so hard. It was so hard that every single time your brain would think, because it's a computer, so if it thinks, if you're doing wrong, it automatically thinks it. You don't have to work at it because you've trained it, right? So if you got some sin in your life and the Lord wants it out, so that you can be fully all he wants you to be, you first got to know that he's not surprised. He's never surprised by our sin. What he wants is for you to change the way you think. So that every single time that thought comes, I would have to quote a scripture, one scripture back. Just whatever God says to you that he gives you. And I would quote that scripture. And I literally, at one point, to keep myself from thinking that way or to go and do or whatever, I was like, Lord, I don't know how to stop my flesh. And he said, go run. I was like, go run? I don't run. I was a lot thinner then, but I still don't run. And he said, no, go run. I lived in the middle of the country. He said, put your tennis shoes on and go run. And I want you to run until you can't take a breath. You feel like you're just going to fall down. Just run. Well, that didn't take very long. And by the time I did that, my mind was sucking air. And then all of a sudden he said, are you thinking about it now? I had 15 seconds of a free thought, free mind from my sin. You may think that's silly, but there are people that are deep-seated in sin and they don't know how to get out. They try themselves over and over and over. And they fail, and they try, and they fail, and that is not God's heart for you. He intends for you to overcome. Amen? Most of the time, you're dealing with a spirit, so you just need the spirit rebuke from you, out of you, whatever needs to be done. Amen? And then, If your mind tries to go there, you got to give it something else to think about. And believe me, when you can't take a breath, your mind's focused on one thing. Breathing. Breathing. But I was so happy that I had 15, 30 seconds, whatever it was, till I could catch my breath again, of a free mind that was owned by God and not by me. Come on. And all the junk I'd put in it. Are you hearing me? If you want to be free, it takes work. And in a single, being a single person, there are all kinds of things I feel like that the enemy tries to throw your way. But when you start small, you're not always going to stay small, but you're going to start with these little wins. Amen? And be happy that you overcame your thought life and you filled it with the Word of God. And then if it comes again, by golly, I can't tell you how many times I ran. I got to where I could run pretty far before I was out of breath. But I knew that it was going to change me, and I wanted the change. I wanted my free mind, my innocent mind back. Hello? The one I had when I was younger, before junk had come in. Amen? So one of the things that can happen, and one of the things that are important in being single, is to have that mind, that single focus on the Lord. You say, well, I'm believing for a spouse. I absolutely am too. I absolutely believe I have a spouse coming. But that is not my focus. My focus is on doing the will of the Father. So much so that when Pastor Jack asked me to do this conference, I forgot I was single. I just totally forgot it because I'm all the time doing something that the Lord wants me to do. And he keeps me busy, just like the day he told me to run. That has never changed. And my mind is kept focused on the things of God. And I don't have a lot of downtime. It doesn't mean I don't have fun. I go to see a movie every now and then, whatever. I'll hang out, go to dinner, whatever. But I don't consume my thought. If I feel the lag coming, what I call a lag, which is where you're idle in your thought, come on. I don't allow my thoughts to be idle. I'm like, okay, Lord, I need an assignment. I need an assignment. He gives me all kinds of things to do. Well, I want to go on missions. Well, I do missions, but that wasn't necessarily one of the assignments. You know, one of the very first assignments I remember him asking me to do was read the book of Isaiah in one day out loud. Read the book of Isaiah out loud in one day. It took me 12 hours. It did. But guess what? My mind was free. My mind was free. Then he was like, you know, then I'm good for a while because, man, I got all that word in me. And then I'm revelating on the word. And then I'm doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing, right? And then, I don't know, a year later, my mind's trying to get idle. Lord, he's like, write the book of John. Backwards. I was like, write the book of John. You mean like, you know, where you can't read it? He was like, no. So I went to the back of John, chapter 16, I think, or whatever it is, chapter 20 something. And I started with the last verse, then the next verse, then the next verse. I hand wrote it. Another assignment to keep my mind in check. Hello? I mean, this would work for anybody. It's not just have to be singles, but I'm telling you, if we're going to fulfill all the things that God has for us, we can't have that idle mind going on. We have to have it disciplined. And so the way we want to discipline it is how the Holy Ghost tells us, not what we think. So don't leave out of here and go write a book. That may not be your assignment. You may be able to write those things and still think wrong. You got a multitask mind going. Amen? So it's what he says to do. To keep yourself focused. So, in the things of God. Amen? So, I want to give you a verse. Let's go to Isaiah. If you've got a Bible there. If you don't, you got a phone. Download the Bible app on there. I always say, with anybody that has an iPhone gets to heaven, I don't know what kind of excuse you're going to tell the Lord. I really don't. Especially when you hear his voice. And you carry the Bible app, and he tells you to do something. You say, I need a scripture, and he gives it to you. And what are you going to say? Oh, I didn't have a Bible. Okay. Nope. To whom much is given, much is required. Everything's in our hands. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to turn there because I like turning there. Keeps your mind busy. Isaiah chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 19. Does anybody know what it says without getting there? I've always used the scripture for finances. But the Lord was like, nope, it's good for singles. It's like, okay, sounds good to me. So what's it say? Isaiah 1:19. If you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. And if you think that's going out there and eating some vegetables, well, then that can be it. But I think marrying the right person God has for you is the good of the land. The land that we live in. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to be willing and obedient. And you know, we can be obedient all day long. Willing is where we're working on. Come on. I didn't have to go run that day he told me to go run. I didn't really want to. Wasn't willing. I didn't have to write or read those books because I really wasn't willing. But the more you override your unwillingness, the more you begin to get willing. Come on. You know, when the Lord told me years and years ago, I want you to drink more water, I was like, oh, Lord. That's when I was poor, poor, poor. And water, for me, was out of the tap. And I hated water. And so I would stand at the sink, literally, pour a glass of water. I do a cup. Excuse me, not a glass, because I hated it so bad. I'm not going to fill a glass up. He'd make me drink it. So I would fill a cup up, one of the kids' little cups. And he would say, drink it. And I'd be like, oh, I even think it smelled. So I would drink it. And as soon as it got down, I would puke it back up. This went on for weeks. Was I willing? No. Was I obedient? Yeah. I don't know, maybe a month or so of doing this. Oh, and it wasn't every day because I couldn't even have stood it every day. I'd rather run than drink that water. And one day, I took a drink and I puked it right back up. And he said, you know what you remind me of? You remind me of an alcoholic. I said, what are you talking about? He said, that's the way they start. They drink that alcohol and they get so sick the first time and they puke and puke and puke. But isn't it interesting how that doesn't stop them? They go again. And they keep doing it till their body adjusts to it. To where they can drink a whole lot and never get sick. I was like, oh my gosh, Lord. I've never thought of that. He said, so your flesh is trainable. Drink the cup of water. Your flesh is trainable. It's very trainable. You can say thank God for that. Otherwise, you'd be wearing a diaper. Thank you, Lord, my flesh is trainable. And at some point in your life, somebody was consistent with your flesh to put you on the potty. You didn't want to be there. I don't know if you've ever seen a potty training experience. They don't like it. Is that right, Dad? Is there any part when you first put them on that potty that they liked about it? No. In fact, you sit there and try to read a book to get them excited about it. They don't like it. Or bribe them. There we go. We used to do stars. Absolutely. Stars would get you, you know, back then McDonald's Happy Meals were okay. They weren't bad for you. So, you know, if you could get so many stars, then you were the winner. And you got a McDonald's Happy Meal on the weekend for going to the potty. Rewards. Don't we love rewards? Isn't he a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? He's a rewarder. So, Hebrews 11. I'm trying to think where it is. 9. No. I have to go there. Hebrews 11. Pastor Jack probably knows exactly. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, is it impossible to please God? How many of you would like to please God? So without faith, it's impossible to do that. Do you know when you're drinking that water and you're puking it back up, but you're drinking it because God told you to? Guess what? You're working in some type of faith, because you would never even be doing it if he didn't lay it on your heart to do it. And I know I'm talking simple things here, and this is probably way above you, but I'm just telling you where I started. Amen? I started with literally disciplining my flesh. So that now that I am a single person, my flesh is still disciplined. Amen? I work at that. And if for any moment, at any time, that it tries to get undisciplined, I'm saying, Lord, what do I need to do to get that back in line? Because I don't like the undisciplined me. I want to be willing and obedient. I want to eat the good of the land, Lord. I want to do all that you have for me to do. But more than that, I love people. And I just want to, if you want me to go, I want to go. If you want me to do, I want to do. And I know that it takes finances, and being willing and obedient, I've always used that verse for finances. If I'm willing and obedient, I'll eat the good of the land. But I'm saying to you, this can be used for you believing for God, the things God's going to do with you singly, and if you choose to be married or to stay single. This applies to you. He finds value in you, not that dollar. He don't find no value in the finances, because he can supply every single bit of it. The value is you. The most valuable thing to him is you. Amen? And he cares about us so much that he will help us through any situation. You say, well, I haven't heard you say that. Oh, there's been plenty of times where I say, God, I need your help. That's when I do, you know, my sowing of my seed, or I do a vow. I mean, I've just started a new vow on not do, because the Lord took me in the word and showed me when King David counted the people, God said he did evil against God. I said, oh, my Lord. And the Lord amplified that to me. And I said, Lord, I want to do a vow that I will never do evil towards you. You say, well, Pastor Kim, I wouldn't have thought you would have. Well, I don't think I am either. But if the Lord took enough time in my prayer time to show me that word, and it resonated so hard on the inside of me, I don't want to do evil, Lord. You know, any kind of evil towards him is if he says to you, I got your finances, and you doubt it one little bit, and you go and count your money you got in the drawer when he said don't count it. You're counting him slack in doing what he said he could do. And he considers that evil. David counted the people, and God said, that's evil against me. You see what I'm saying? So I was like, Lord, I'm doing a vow. What is it? What's the cost of who to? Tell me now. I'm done. Because what does a vow do? A vow, you decree a thing, and then God makes it established unto you. So that any area in my life, if my flesh would try to raise up and do evil, what God considers evil, against him, that's not a mass murderer or a, you know, going out and having an affair. That's sin. We're talking what God considers evil. And that's when he says, I can do this through you, and you doubt it. See, we don't be that, do we? Me either. Vow. Done. Decreed. I've already seen it shut one thing down. Already. I mean, I just did it. You know, think about a vow is, let's say he says it's $1,000, it's $10,000. It starts the day you make the vow, whether you've paid it or not. He knows you're faithful to take and do what he says to do, but it starts that day. Hallelujah. So a challenge came up in an area in my life, and I normally would have done one thing, and the Holy Spirit, who's my helper, said, don't do that at all. Because it kind of shut down what I wanted to do. And I said, Holy Spirit, I've done this before. You've helped me. You know, and he said, no, we can't do that anymore, because your vow is you won't do evil against God. And at the level that you are in believing him, you can no longer go back there. Come on. Because we grow in levels of believing God. And it would be a sin for me to do something that I used to do. It was fine in the area of finances. And now I cannot. Because it's taking him as a slight hand. And he is never slight in anything. I absolutely know he takes care of me. And I'll just tell you what it was. I absolutely know he supplies all my need. When I go to prayer, if for finances, it is never for about a need that I have. Like, oh, I need my water bill paid, or oh, I need this paid. Nope. Because that verse says, I've been with him long enough in the last, you know, since I don't even know, it's been a long time. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. So for me to even talk to him about that after I've been so long away from that would be wrong. And the Holy Spirit said, don't do it. Don't talk to him about it at all. And I said, you're right. I know he has me. I know that I know that I know he has me. I'm going to keep going. It just turned right around. But I wouldn't even talk to God about it because that would make it seem like I didn't trust him. See how your soul tries to revert back to what's comfortable? But see, you wouldn't be in this church if you weren't called for greatness. I always say, don't be moved by the numbers. Because you know, in the Marines or in the Green Beret, they ain't looking for numbers. They're looking for those who qualify. And we aren't called to just be in the group. We're called to be leaders. We're called to influence nations. We're called to make a difference. And if we're called to make a difference, then you weren't just recruited. We just need a number. No. Mm-mm. Nope. God's got plans for you. And they're great. And they're not small. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me see the time. Because I can keep going, you know. I won't talk about that. Hallelujah. My church. I always say, Lord, when they've had enough, let me know it. Because I keep going. And when they've had enough, let me know it. Because I treat them like elite Marines. They are on the front line. And when we go into battle in the battles of faith, I want to have seen who's standing next to me has some, I call it blood on your sword. You have been here before. You have defeated the enemy in his lies. And this ain't going to be nothing because we're going to wipe it out. And I want the elite team. I don't want somebody who just, well, I'm just there because they needed numbers. Hello? We're going to see people come in that are no more committed than just to be here because that's what they believe God's told them to do. Because when they come in, they stay healed. When they come in, they are prosperous. But they're not called to the front line. But we have the front line people right now that are just getting girded up, getting disciplined, being focused. Amen? Hallelujah. And God's going to bring along, if you're desiring to be married, he's going to bring along the person, but it's who he plans. And in my mind, I think it'll be when you least expect it. You'll just be doing the will of God. You'll just be doing what the plan is. And then they'll just be doing what the plan God told them is. Amen? 3 years ago, I'm thinking it was 3 years ago. Sometimes that, I don't know, on time sometimes, I don't even pay attention to it really. Because it's really irrelevant. It really is irrelevant. If you really believe the word that you're going to live till you're at a full age, time is irrelevant. If you absolutely believe that the same spirit that lives on, that raised Jesus from the dead, that made that dead body alive, you know, and I've heard stories how he was, from Rick Renner, how he was unrecognizable because he took on every sin of the world. So you couldn't even recognize it was Jesus. That's why, you know, when they say Mary, who was it, Mary, or he was walking with two people and they didn't recognize him. You know, or Mary, I think it was too. And he said, don't touch me. I'm not yet ascended. She kind of knew who he was, but He became sin for us. So he took on all that sin. I don't know if you've ever seen, you know, what sin produces in a physical flesh in the form of sickness, but it can totally take away your body and sores, and it's awful. So he took all of that, and he went to and it says in the word that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead quickens your mortal body, makes it alive. That's in Romans. Makes it alive. So how in the world, if the spirit that lives on the inside of you makes your body alive, how will you ever go except your choice? It's time to go. If you really believe that word. Come on. Don't be moved. Don't be moved. Amen? What I think is so cool is we live in a time period where we have these generals of God who are before us, who we can see are living in their 80s. And they're not just, you know, I worked in a nursing home when I was 18 years old. 80-year-old people, they walk around with, you know, something that helps them walk. And, you know, and they lean over and their head's like this and their teeth are all good and they just waddle. That's what I see. But, you know, I am privileged to get to go see Kenneth Copeland preach and at his pastor's conference in January. And this past January, he's 80 or 81, and I don't remember which. But he was jumping on that stage like a 35-year-old man. When he went up the stairs to preach, oh, it wasn't one step at a time. It was jogging up the steps. When he was up there, he was running. He was jumping. No. That looks like a 50-year-old man. Doesn't look like an 80-something-year-old man. So we have this example of the Spirit of God quickening, making alive your mortal flesh. Hello. See, because if he has the brown hair, well, people can do that. They can color their hair. Well, if he's got good teeth, well, you can get fake teeth in. You cannot fake running and jumping. Come on. You can't fake that. It's either in your bones and your body or it isn't. It was phenomenal. It encouraged me like no other to really believe that the God that lives on the inside of me. Then I was reading Kenneth Hagin's book years ago, and it says in there that the Lord told him he didn't even begin his ministry till he was 58 years old. He said, Lord, what I've been doing all this time? He said, preparation. He didn't even begin his ministry till he was 58. Are you hearing me? Okay, it may have been 56, but it was in them 50. I'm doubting my timing, but I think it was 58. So the point is that you got to get out of your own thinking and get into God's way of thinking. Whether you're single, whether you're not single, you got to get into God's way of thinking. But at the same time, when you are single, the enemy tries to mess with you about being single. If you let him. The same thing that he'll do about anything if you let him. You can be married and he can mess with you. Hello? It happens to single or he's not... I want to say gender specific because that's just what's going on in my neck of the woods, so to speak, in the world that we live in. So not gender specific, but he is not, careful who he talks to about things. He just continuously tries to shoot doubt and unbelief and seeing if you're going to take it in your mind. So there is not a difference between being single and not being single when you have God in your mind. Oh, yes, there is, Pastor. I can tell you. Okay, well, you can tell me all day long. But you're going to start speaking out of your mouth things that you're feeling. Right? And those things you're going to have to change. Even if you got to go run till you stop thinking that way. Because God's got good for you, but he's got to get you out of your own mind when you have, I call it stinking thinking. Because all that's going to do is take you off the front line. The next time you turn around, you'll be in the back If you can walk, you'll be sick. I mean, it's a plan. It's a plan to take you out. Come on. You say, why does it always have to be me? Why do I always have to feel the pressure? Because you're in the front line. That's why it's you. That's why you hear it. Hear it. Come on. I always say moms are good at ignoring children when they, mom. I don't know if dads can do that or not. I never asked. But we would get really good at it. Oh, they send them to their mother. Okay. Mom. And you finally would just be like, you just tune it out. But all of a sudden the enemy starts talking to you and you got to say, I got to tell you what the devil said. He has just really been irritating me. I don't even speak what he says because if I don't act like it, he don't even know that I heard it. He has no clue what's going on the inside of me unless I start speaking it out of my mouth or I start acting in the way he's tempting me. Then he just piles it on. So I do absolutely opposite. Absolutely opposite. I'm not going to be moved by that. But that takes time. It takes seeking the Lord. Lord, I need you to tell me what to do to discipline my mind. I want my mind disciplined. I want my thoughts disciplined. I want my body disciplined. Right? And I'm still working in that area. Hallelujah. Disciplined. And it's going to happen. Amen? Okay. I'm just seeking the Lord. There was one more thing I wanted to share with you. And I had it in my mind and it went away. So I don't know if he wants me to bring it back. When you're single, do you ever get privately angry with God? You know, you just get to a point where, Lord, I have done this enough. I have been single long enough. So then, instead of having your eyes on what he wants to do, you start looking around. Try to catch the eye of someone. Come on. Catch the eye. You start paying attention. Is somebody looking at me? Oh, is somebody? That's a lust spirit. Stop it. Don't be doing that. That just invites the enemy to come in and mess with you. Don't do it. Well, I don't have to do it, Pastor. They just come up and talk to me, and they start saying all these things. Well, you know, I wasn't always blonde. I was a strawberry blonde, but a redhead. But I just played stupid. Do we not know how to do that? If people start trying to come on to you or act inappropriate to you, there's only a couple women. Maybe this is not going to be on tape for some other women, you know? But if that can happen to you whether you're married or you're single. What do you do with that? Because where I work, they're not shy. They'll just come right up and start telling you what to think. I change the subject. If they're married, I go, how's your wife today? I don't address what stupid thing they just said because that would give it place. And it has no place in me. Do you understand? I don't get mad because that would be a whole nother avenue. Why would I get mad? I'm just so done. No, you're not done. You just don't play that game. It's just a game. Just don't do it. Right? And then I want to talk about in the church. You know, I had been married for years and I had somebody come up to me when I was single and say, you can't sit there next to that man. He's married. I thought that was, it was like out to dinner. It was good Christian friends. And I think this person was, it was a woman. I think she was trying to be helpful to me. And I was like, I'm the same person that sat next to that man for the last 10 years. All of a sudden, because I'm single, I'm not supposed to sit there. I didn't think a thing about it. But now all of a sudden, I've been told I can't sit there because I'm single. Had I been not who I am, I might have never returned. I was so, if offense just tried to grab me. Then it made me mad, and I worked all that out within a few seconds because I don't get offended and I don't get mad. And I started seeking the Lord. And I said, Lord, I don't ever want that to happen again. Well, he didn't give me an answer right then, but he took me on a journey. And the journey was, I work in the emergency department, so we were coding a person. You know what I mean by coding? Somebody's doing chest compressions, somebody's starting an IV, right? Somebody's saying what kind of drugs we need. So there's a lot of people that gather around someone who comes in who's not breathing, and their heart is stopped. So I'm the nurse, so I am up under, there's a guy standing on a stool so he can get tall enough to do chest compression. I get under him because I need the arm to put an IV in so we can give drugs. Right? I mean, if I turn my head, I'm like basically right at his belly. We do CPR, we do all this stuff. We're bumping into each other, we're touching each other. No, nobody in that entire room thought, oh my gosh, you're single and you're touching someone. Hello? So the Lord, when I got home that night, he started reminding me of that. He said, that was a religious spirit. It set me free. It set me free. Come on. Because it was not meant, it was something that person had fear within them, and they were just trying to project it onto me. But had it been somebody else, they might have left and never came back. Are you hearing me? And the Lord said, how come that doesn't happen in that situation in that emergency room? Well, there's lust spirits everywhere. And I said, I don't know, Lord, why? I have no idea. He said, because the world is very focused on what they're doing. The enemy only tries to be sly. He only tries to creep in. Right? But the truth is, and this is what the Lord showed me, not once did any of the people in that room have a focus of being intimate with each other. Because we had a bigger goal in mind. And that was bringing someone who was not alive back. Now let's take that to the church. Come on, I want you to be free. You need to be free in your thinking. The majority of people, if they're going to sin and create problems in the church, they're going to do it in the world just as much as in the church. Okay? But nowhere do you need to get into that thought process. Come on. The guy who I'm almost like, I mean, I literally could have bumped his belly. I mean, some skinny kid, you know? He never once came to me after it and said, you know, I felt you were a little close to me. You know, you kind of touched me inappropriately. Come on. Why? Because that's not the focus. We were not thinking that way. So when we have thoughts coming up that either try to put you to where you want to pull away from the church, or there are thoughts of, oh, I kind of want to give that girl an eye or so, you got to know where that's all coming from. Because if your focus is on what's important, and that is following Jesus so that many can become saved that are dying, all of a sudden you don't think, did you sit next to somebody, bump somebody? And neither does that person. Come on. I want us to be healed of it. You know, I came back to church and I was like, people, we're not going to be like that. We are not going to be like that. You know, if somebody bumps into somebody, you know, because I have a music minister. I'm a woman, he's a man. You know, we can actually carry on a conversation. And we don't have to have a third party. Now, oh, Pastor, but you need a third party just to keep everything holy. Oh, my gosh. Well, in my church, they know that we're not playing that game. We're not playing that game. That's inappropriate to even have that kind of thought. Because neither does he have that thought, and neither do I have that thought. We're here for ministry. We are about Jesus. Well, you got to think about those people. Well, right now, I just got the front line. So I'm not thinking that way right now. I'm working on getting everybody staying in the same focus, and that is Jesus, this church, evangelizing our city. And I think if you learn the right things, the wrong things everybody recognizes. Come on. You don't teach a child all the wrong things. You teach them all the right things. Then when something wrong happens, they know that's wrong. Come on. So we're not coming in going to teach the church all the things not to do. No, we're going to just talk about, we're going to stay focused in one lane, and that is what we are doing. Does that make sense? Am I being too hard? Pastor Jack, am I being too hard? So, the point is, if you have the right heart, nobody's going to think you're doing anything inappropriate. And I feel like as a single person, I just want to echo that. A single person in the church. Because you see a bunch of single people and you think, oh, well, I wonder who will marry who and who will marry who. None of them may marry anybody that's there. We're not here for that. When God puts us together, whoever, if you want to be married, it's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be so phenomenal that people that are already married that maybe didn't have it the way you've got it are going to be like, my gosh, I wish I'd have done it that way. Do you understand the difference? My gosh, I wish I would have done it the way God wanted me to do it. Not that I'm unhappy where I'm at, but man, wow. The freedom that comes with knowing that God is working in your life, not just to supply your needs as finances, but to supply your needs as a human being, and to also have somebody that you can have conversation with, come on, that you can go to dinner with. But at the same time, the bottom line is, whew, there's no arguing, no forgiving. I'm just going to say that again. No arguing over giving. Oh, I guess nobody argues over giving. Does anybody remember that? Is anybody married that had a husband who was like, no, you're not giving? But I want to give. You're not giving. Nobody ever had that? Oh, well, bless your heart. Maybe it's for the tape. I can remember sitting in this church wanting to give to John Avanzini. It was in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was like, God, we took all the money we had just to get here, and I so want to give in this offering to John Avanzini. I'm just going to believe you. And I wasn't talking out loud. I was talking inside. And there was a man sitting over here on the side, and he handed me $20. And I knew that was supposed to go in the offering. And I also knew if I didn't stand up and run it up there, somebody that was sitting on the other side of me would be like, we need that. Nobody ever had that happen. Oh, well. Hallelujah. I ran it up there. Hallelujah. Because I was like, that was what I was praying for, the ability to give. Can you imagine? You see what's important to me? Somebody who is equally yoked in not caring. I don't care how much they give, and they don't care how much I give. Hallelujah. How free is that? Free, 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 free. Oh, I just could chat on that. Anyway, anything else, Lord? I feel like... I asked my son, who's 31 and single and never been married, if he had something to say. I just wanted to hear what he'd have to say, so he texted me. Because I wanted to know, you know, if this would be something good. So he wrote, a single person, as a single person, we too often try to fill the desire of our hearts in a relationship with another person. But what we are really doing is trying to fill our own inadequacies with another person. Instead of realizing another person is not the answer. It is. The other person is not your answer. If there's problems, they're within you and they go into the marriage. So you fix you. Drink your water. Even if you puke it, just drink it again. Being serious. Until you get yourself disciplined. And your mind disciplined. And still, the other person is not the answer. If we turned our attention and affection on God, He would bring the right people into our lives. It's called seeking Him first. His ways will bring His best into your life. Isn't that true? 30 years old, that generation of kids that really desire to get married but just are willing to wait for the person God has for them. And He's not done everything right, but He absolutely has been this way for about 2 years now. Just absolutely a whole nother person. I enjoy talking to Him because He is so focused on doing the plan of God. Amen? And before that, He would bounce back and forth because He was learning to discipline His mind. Amen? So how many of you know you can't beat yourself up when you're learning to discipline your mind? But you also can't quit. Don't quit. You're called to the front line. God's going to use you greatly. And I don't care if you don't think it will ever happen. Amen? He's going to do what He said He's going to do. Whatever He's told you He's going to do, He's really going to do it. He just needs you to stay in the spot that He has you. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, my dear. I am going to stop. I have tons of teaching, but that was good enough. Amen? Hallelujah.